Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, July 15th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
China's economy slows to the weakest pace in 27 years, while monthly data show signs of stability.
Protests continue in Hong Kong as police arrest dozens of demonstrators.
Wall Street awaits earnings from big U.S. banks, beginning with Citigroup.
President Trump is facing a backlash after tweets toward four Democratic congresswomen. Plus, why did the lights go out in Times Square over the weekend? I'm Michael Barr. More coming up.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, it's a five-set Wimbledon thriller. The Yankees take the series with Toronto, and Robbie Cano is heating up.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are gaining ahead of a busy week for earnings. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 3 points. Dow futures up 28. NASDAQ futures up 3.5. The DAX in Germany is little changed, down less than 0.1%. The CAC in Paris is down 0.25%. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.12%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.84%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 14 cents at $60.35 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $5.70 to $14.1790. Announced the euro 1.1278 against the dollar, the yen 107.86. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with data out of China showing economic growth slowing to the weakest pace since 1992. GDP rose 6.2% in the second quarter, though readings on retail sales, factory output, and investment all topped estimates. We get more from Bloomberg's James Mager in Beijing.
The really surprising things we're seeing is the unexpected strength in industrial production and retail sales. They were much, much better than expected. And that's especially surprising for industrial production when exports have been so weak. The stabilization of industrial production and retail sales indicates that the domestic economy is actually a lot stronger than people have thought, which bodes well for the economy going forward if that strength continues.
Now, the trade war took a bite out of growth, though, with exports contributing just 20% to China's GDP gains in the first half. That's down from 22% in the first quarter.
Stocks in Asia climb following that data, with benchmarks in Shanghai and Hong Kong reversing earlier losses. Bloomberg's David Inglis joins us from Hong Kong with details. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Well, it took investors a couple of minutes, given the amount of data that was actually dumped, to realize that they were actually looking at relatively good set of numbers, especially when you look at the monthly activity numbers. The CSI 300 came off lows to close a 0.4% higher. Hong Kong also shook off a lethargic start. Japan, kind reminder, was shut on holiday. We'll need to wait for Tuesday to see how Tokyo's cash market reacts. Overall, though, Asian stocks were better by 0.3%. Apart from equities, though, the more immediate reaction to the Chinese data really came in the bond market in China. Yields creeping higher for the first time in 3 days, with traders reassessing perhaps the amount of forthcoming stimulus from authorities. In Hong Kong, I'm David Inglis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
David, thanks. And a new development in the trade war. According to Reuters, U.S. firms may get approval to restart sales to Huawei in 2 to 4 weeks. The Commerce Department's currently evaluating licenses that would be issued in instances where there is no threat to national security.
Meanwhile, China says it will sanction U.S. companies selling arms to Taiwan, according to the Communist Party's flagship newspaper. Firms including General Dynamics, Honeywell International, and Raytheon could be targeted.
Protests in Hong Kong show no signs of slowing. Hong Kong police arrested more than 40 people over the weekend after an anti-government march resulted in clashes with demonstrators. Rally organizers say more than 100,000 people turned out to protest Chief Executive Carrie Lam's bid to allow extraditions to China. Police estimate the crowd at about 28,000. Bloomberg's Dan Ten Kate has more from Hong Kong.
The protesters have been keeping up the momentum quite well. They've been trying to mix things up with the protests. They're not occupying one location, but they're going around to different vicinities all over Hong Kong each weekend and managing to get very sizable crowds. Generally, these sorts of clashes have happened. They've died down. They sort of settle for the week, and then protesters are right back out there the following weekend, still attracting sizable crowds.
Meanwhile, the Financial Times says Carrie Lam offered to resign in recent weeks, but the move was refused by authorities in China. Beijing reportedly insists she remain in office to fix, quote, the mess she created.
Back here in the U.S., bank earnings are front and center this week. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Falling interest rates have sparked concern that net interest income the money banks make from customers' loan payments minus what they pay depositors will suffer. Allison Williams is a senior bank analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence.
We've already had banks sort of talking down the numbers. We've had estimates coming down into earnings. The question is that enough?
And among the banks reporting this week, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Capital One, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, BNY Mellon, and State Street. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. It all kicks off this morning with results from Citigroup due out around 8 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's John Tucker reports.
Citigroup will set the bar for bank earnings, with trading results establishing a target for its peers. Citi will also be the first to comment on the shifting landscape after Deutsche Bank's announced exit from global equities. In recent years, Citigroup has climbed the ranks in equity trading and could capitalize on European banks' pullback in rates trading. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Oil holding gains around $60 a barrel after Hurricane Barry shut nearly three-quarters of crude production in the Gulf of Mexico. Lingering supply and demand concerns continue to dent the outlook. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil up a quarter percent or 15 cents at $60.36 a barrel. Brent is up four-tenths percent at $66.99.
Shares of Galapagos are up nearly 17% in Amsterdam after Gilead Sciences raised its stake in the biotech company. Gilead agreed to pay $5.1 billion for an increased stake in Galapagos that values the Belgian company nearly 10% higher than Friday's closing price.
Shares of AB InBev are down 1.5% after the company suspended the IPO of its Asian business. After reversing plans for the $10 billion offering, the owner of Budweiser needs another way to reduce more than $100 billion in debt.
Shares of Boeing are down 1% in early trading. According to the Wall Street Journal, the 737 MAX jet may stay grounded till early 2020, months later than guidance Boeing is privately providing customers.
And Bitcoin is slumping after another large weekend move. The digital currency fell as much as 15% since Friday. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 6:07 on Wall Street. We bring in Michael Barr to get the latest world and national news. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump was accused of being racist and divisive by many Democrats after suggesting that four female Democratic lawmakers, led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, should return to, quote, the broken and crime-infested places from which they came. Three of the four women Trump was apparently referencing were born in the U.S., none is white. The other three are Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, and Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts. Democratic presidential hopeful Senator Kamala Harris said the tweets show that Mr. Trump does not understand what the people want from their president.
It is absolutely racist and un-American. And it is an old trope, go back to where you came from, that, you know, you might hear it on the street, but you should never hear that from the President of the United States.
Trump said the lawmakers originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe and should go back and help fix the countries. It's still not clear what caused a weekend power outage in Times Square. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says, though officials confirmed it was not a terrorist attack.
All pertinent city agencies are going to work closely with Con Edison to figure out exactly what happened, exactly how we can make sure it does not happen again.
The five-hour power outage Saturday night brought the subway system to a halt. President Trump told aides he's considering removing Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross after the Supreme Court defeat on adding a citizenship question to the census. That's according to an NBC report. Louisiana governor says that he is extremely grateful that Barry, now a tropical depression, did not cause the disastrous floods that had earlier been forecast. In a news conference last night, Governor John Bel Edwards said Barry's rains could have been much worse.
Over the next several days, we will start our preliminary damage assessments that will be run out of GOSEP here with some of our federal partners, particularly FEMA, to go out and take a look and see where the damages occurred.
Financier Jeffrey Epstein has a bail hearing today in connection with the sex trafficking and conspiracy charges he's facing. Epstein is hoping the judge will let him out on bail, satisfied he can remain on house arrest in his Manhattan mansion. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. A Wimbledon men's final for the ages as Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic met for the 48th time, yet arguably the most compelling. It's the fifth title for Djokovic.
4 or 5 year old growing up and dreaming to become a tennis player. This always has been the tournament for me, you know, where I wanted to participate, where I wanted to win one day.
He wins a fifth tiebreaker set, 13-12. It's the second time he's won back-to-back titles. Baseball, the Yankees took 2 of 3 from Toronto at the stadium by holding the Jays hitters in check, 4-2. Skipper Aaron Boone as the trade deadline looms.
That group in there is capable of being the best team in baseball, capable of being best team in the world. You know, that said, you know, Cash is going to, you know, look around every corner to where we can improve in a big way or at the margins or whatever. And if something comes to fruition, then great.
Yankees lead the East by 6. Homestand continues tonight with second place Tampa Bay. James Paxton hosting Blake Snell. Mets got a double dose of Robbie Cano over the weekend.
Hangs and gets hammered high in the air, deep to right field, and it's gone. Into the visiting Met bullpen, recessed just right of right center, Robinson Cano is a triple shy of the cycle.
Mets radio second time in as many games. Cano goes yard. Mets took 2 of 3 in Miami. They enjoyed the day off as they head to Minnesota. Dodgers beat the Red Sox in extras. Giants took down the Brewers. A's beat the White Sox. And the Angels beat the Mariners, but they lost Mike Trout with a calf injury. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
And Rob, in other sports news, Procter & Gamble is now getting behind the U.S. women's soccer team members' fight for equal pay. The company sponsors U.S. soccer through its secret deodorant brand, says it's going to donate $529,000 to help close the pay gap. That's $23,000 for each player on the team. Futures pointed higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we set you up for a busy trading week ahead for earnings and Fed speak with our weekly roundtable of Bloomberg News editors around the world. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are rising alongside stocks in Asia. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points, Dow futures up 45, NASDAQ futures up about 10. The DAX in Germany is up almost 0.2% now. 10-year Treasury little change, yield 2.12%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.84%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.33% or 22 cents at $60.43 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.33% or $5.10 to $14.17.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1281 against the dollar. The yen 107.84. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Donald Trump is facing backlash from Democrats after he attacked progressive Democratic congresswomen of color on Twitter, saying they should go back to, quote, the broken and crime-infested places from which they came from. 3 of 4 women were born in the U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi responded to Trump's claims, calling them xenophobic. NBC is reporting President Trump told aides he's considering removing Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross after Supreme Court members defeated and adding on the citizenship question to the census. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox lost along with the Nationals and Orioles. The A's and Giants were winners. At Wimbledon, Novak Djokovic won the men's single title. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barb. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the trading day and week ahead. Helping us do that from New York, Bloomberg News Chief Content Officer Marty Shanker. In London, we're joined by Executive Editor Heather Harris. And in Hong Kong, we're pleased to have Senior International Editor Jody Cody Schneider. Could be a very busy week, Marty, when you consider bank earnings and a whole lot of Fed speak due out this week.
That's right. It's all against a backdrop of record equity prices last week. It's kind of been an incremental rise towards the record, and it's in the context of negative interest rates around the world, not in the U.S., and how that's going to affect how the economy works and how earnings work is a question on investors' minds.
Well, the data we got out of China this morning set the tone for the week, do you think, Jody Schneider?
Well, it's an interesting picture. The economy did show that it slipped. It was at its weakest pace since quarterly data began being kept in 1992. But at the same time, some monthly indicators showed that things are stabilizing. Of course, this all comes against the backdrop of the trade war with the U.S. And the economy at the same time is decelerating, you know, from that expansion in the mid-2000s. So Chinese negotiators have a tough job here. They're going to have to figure out how to keep talking to the U.S. And there's no certainty that a deal will be reached in time to stop further economic damage to China.
Politics front and center in Europe. Heather, could we have a photo finish in the race for European Commission president?
Yes, it certainly looks that way. You may recall that Ursula von der Leyen, she's the German defense minister currently, and emerged as quite an interesting compromise candidate between both Merkel and Macron after a really grueling summit in Brussels where there was deadlock for many, 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 many days and weeks. She now has to convince the EU Parliament, a majority of the voters, to get past 376 votes, what's needed for majority there, or we are back to square one.
Marty Shanker, seems that troubles for Boeing and its 737 MAX just don't seem to go away. It's getting worse before it gets better, it seems.
Yeah, it does seem like this is a drip, drip, drip. I mean, there was Boeing thought that they'd get these jetliners up in September, then it slipped to November, December, and now the Journal is reporting next year. And look, it's every time you turn around, there seems to be a setback on getting these jets in the air, and it's a real problem for Boeing.
And shares of Boeing are down 1.2% in the early trade. Jody Schneider, AB InBev's Asia IPO falls flat. Now what?
Yeah, now they're looking for a plan B after investors essentially bailed on that Asian IPO after reversing course over plans to sell a stake in that unit to raise as much as $9.8 billion. They need to find a way to reduce about $100 billion plus in debt and also try to mollify their shareholders while reinvigorating that business. And at the same time, they need to keep credit rating agencies at bay. So that planned Hong Kong sale was supposed to pull them out of that, and now it hasn't happened. So they're having to look at a host of other options.
And Heather, I know you're watching tensions between the EU and Turkey in this offshore drilling dispute in the Eastern Mediterranean.
That's right. Turkey's really being hit from all sides at the moment. So the EU is going to decide to punish it today. We break the news on Friday about what that punishment might look like. They're just going to stop short of formal sanctions on these companies that have been involved in offshore drilling on the Eastern Mediterranean. However, funding will be cut to Turkey and diplomatic relations at an all-time low. At the same time, we reported over the weekend that the U.S. is going to decide between three menu options on how to sanction Turkey over its purchase of Russian missiles.
Marty Shanker, immigration seems to be front and center in Washington. That issue doesn't seem to be going away, and it's showing a divide among Democrats.
Yeah, and, you know, Donald Trump's infamous now tweets during the weekend have really centered everyone's attention on the divisions in the Democratic Party. He thinks that's a winning issue for him, and I think he's right. And if the Democrats can't get their act together on immigration, it's going to continue to be a significant problem in terms of getting Democrats united for 2020.
Problems seemingly not going away either in Hong Kong, Jody Schneider. Still pressure on Chief Executive Carrie Lam.
That's right. We're continuing to see clashes. We had those mass protests earlier this month, and now we're seeing these crowds of protesters turning out almost near the border with China. They basically are walking to areas popular with mainland tourists, and there were more clashes over the weekend, and it's very much geared toward trying to get Carrie Lam to resign, even though she said that the bill that was really at the heart of this has now been dead.
Jody Schneider, Bloomberg News senior international editor, with us from Hong Kong this morning, along with Bloomberg executive editor Heather Harris in London, and from New York, Bloomberg News chief content officer Marty Shanker. Thanks to all three of you helping us get set up for the trading week on Bloomberg Daybreak. And as we take a look at futures ahead of the trading day, they are moving higher, pointing toward more gains, more records potentially for the S&P 500, up 4.5 points, Dow futures up 40, and NASDAQ futures up 8 points. And it's 6:25 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we will have much more on all these stories that could potentially move markets as we bring you the latest news in business, economics, and finance on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Futures are pointing to more records for U.S. stocks as we begin a new trading week. It's a busy week with earnings season kicking into high gear and a slew of Fed speakers on the schedule, including Chairman Jerome Powell.
In Asia, today's stocks rebounded from early losses after data showed China's economy stabilizing, though growth also slowed to 6.2% in the second quarter. We get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
6.2% was the weakest pace in at least 27 years, but factory output, retail sales, and fixed asset investment data all beat estimates in June. It suggests that government stimulus is starting to have an effect. Retail sales in particular jumped 9.8%. That was well above the estimate of 8.5%. And Beijing said that second half data will be better as it continues its policy efforts. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. As for the U.S. earnings season, banks are in the spotlight with J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Bank of America all reporting this week. Allison Williams is Senior Financial Services Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence.
For all the U.S. banks, it's all about net interest margins, just given the dramatically worsening environment that we've seen. We've already had banks sort of talking down the numbers. We've had estimates coming down into earnings. The question is that enough?
And Citigroup will be the first of the big banks to report. They're scheduled for this morning around 8 a.m. Wall Street time.
In deal news, San Francisco-based Gilead Sciences is raising its stake in Galapagos. Gilead agreed to pay $5.1 billion for an increased stake in the Belgian biotech company.
Shares of Boeing down 1% in early trading. According to the Wall Street Journal, Boeing 737 MAX may stay grounded months longer than the company is telling customers.
Amazon kicks off Prime Day today. This year, it's a two-day event and is forecast to take in $5.8 billion.
And the volatility in Bitcoin continues this morning. The digital currency down 13% to just over $10,000. We're also watching this headline. Crossing the Bloomberg, Crane says it's ceasing efforts to acquire Cercor. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 35. NASDAQ futures up 5. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.12%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.84%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3%, or 22 cents, at $60.43 a barrel. COMEX gold also on the rise, up 0.3%, or $4.60, to $14.1680 an ounce. And the euro, 1.1282 against the dollar. The yen, 107.85. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Still no answers into what caused a massive power outage Saturday in Times Square. Officials have ruled out terrorism. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports Senator Chuck Schumer says Manhattan showed New York City pride.
While the investigation continues into exactly what did happen, Schumer says one thing is very clear. New Yorkers always pull through in the face of adversity.
I heard about a restaurant where the electricity went out, so they couldn't collect cash and they went on the honor system and continued to serve people. The same valor that New York has always shown in crisis, whether it's after 9/11 or anything else, was shown here. New Yorkers always rise to the occasion.
Meanwhile, Mayor Bill de Blasio, along with Governor Andrew Cuomo, say the magnitude of the outage is unacceptable and Con Ed needs to do better. I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Democrats are calling out President Trump for a tweet telling progressive freshman congresswomen to go back to the country they came from rather than criticize the government. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi condemned Trump's tweets as xenophobic. NBC is reporting President Trump told aides he's considering removing Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross after the Supreme Court defeat on adding a citizenship question to the census. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents were expected to conduct enforcement surges in several cities this weekend. So far, there have been no reports of major actions, but rallies were held yesterday to oppose the deportations. Meanwhile, Acting Director of Citizenship and Immigration Services Ken Cuccinelli was asked about the raids on ABCs this week.
It shows how far we've fallen that it's even news that ICE is doing its job. This is their job every day, isn't it?
Well, in fact, the numbers are fewer. You have fewer people being deported under.
That's right.
President Trump and under President Obama.
That's correct.
ABCs this week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. There was more unrest in Hong Kong. That's where we'll find Bloomberg's Karen Lee.
Hong Kong police arrested more than 40 people after dramatic clashes with demonstrators inside a suburban shopping mall near China's border over the weekend kept the heat on embattled leader Carrie Lam. Scuffles broke out as police moved to clear stragglers from an area popular with mainland visitors following the latest mass rally against Lam's government. Organizers said it had drawn 110,000 people, while police estimated the turnout at 28,000. In Hong Kong, Karen Lee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
We're coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. Michael, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Nathan. In all the years at Wimbledon, there may have never been a finish this exciting.
Second serve from Federer to Djokovic to the backhand. Djokovic returns cross-court. Federer misses wrong! No, Djokovic is a Wimbledon champion for the fifth time, and he does it by saving two match points against Roger Federer to prevail.
Back-to-back crowns for world's number one, Novak Djokovic. Second time he's done that at Wimbledon. The fifth set tiebreaker was also the first in any men's final at the four Grand Slams. To baseball, the Yankees picking up where they left off at the break.
Talkman hits a long drive to right. Hit ball is high. Not as far. It is gone. It went over the grandstand into the bleachers. Talkman, the Sockman.
Yankees radio 4-2. They bury Toronto, taking 2 of 3. They have a 6-game lead in the East over Tampa Bay, who pays a visit tonight. Blake Snell battles James Paxton. Mets just as fortunate in South Beach, taking 2 of 3 from Miami, 6-2. All-star Jeff McNeil on starting off the second half on a winning note.
I think, like I said, the last time I won a series was a while ago on the road, so hopefully take two there and then, you know, go to San Francisco and, you know, take care of business. And
it wasn't drama-free, though, for New York, as manager Mickey Callaway benched Ahmed Rosario, claiming it wasn't disciplinary, rather just some extra rest, yet later referenced a key error in Saturday's game. Mets road trip continues. They're off today. They visit Minnesota on Tuesday. A's and Giants both win. Dodgers beat the Red Sox in 12, and the Angels beat Seattle, but Mike Trout left with a calf injury. He'll have an MRI on Monday. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Thank you, Rob. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
If she's confirmed as the president of the European Commission this week, Germany's Ursula von der Leyen will have many pressing tasks on her agenda. One should be reforming the process that got her there. Filling the role of Commission presidency has long been a maddening Game of Thrones. This time, national leaders haggled for weeks before reaching a surprise deal to nominate von der Leyen. A better system would strengthen ties between national parties and the larger political families sitting in the European Parliament. Adding transnational party lists could make EU lawmakers accountable to a broader electorate. Similarly, giving national parliaments a stronger stake in EU policymaking might improve engagement. That, in turn, could be translated into broader popular support. Such reforms would help make Europe's institutions less distant from the voters they're meant to serve. If von der Leyen pushes them, she'll have proved an inspired choice. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Take a dive under the surface of the Indian Ocean in the crystal clear waters of the Seychelles, and you'll see the usual kaleidoscope of life and color has largely given way to a phenomenon known as bleaching. Algae provides the bright colors, but when corals are stressed, they expel the algae as a means of self-preservation. Now, new research shows how two heat waves between 2015 and 2017 have killed off as much as 70% of the coral reefs in the region. Recovery can take about a decade, but Dr. Catherine Head of the Zoological Society of London says that's if they recover.
So if these heat waves become more frequent as they're predicted, the reefs simply won't have a chance to recover. So there are predictions which say perhaps reefs may go functionally extinct by about 2050 should emissions continue as they are at the moment.
Coral reefs cover less than 1% of the world's ocean beds, yet they're home to a quarter of all marine life on the planet. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. On the economic front, this week's U.S. data start with today's release of the New York Fed's regional factory report. It's out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
White House tariffs are weighing on manufacturers, lifting the cost of imported supplies and squelching demand for American exports. In June, the New York Fed's index registered the first negative reading since October 2016. Also on this week's calendar, June retail sales. Look for a gain. Economists say consumer spending probably accelerated in the second quarter. We'll also get data on import prices, industrial production, housing starts, and the Fed's Beige Book survey. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Vinny, futures point to gains on Wall Street this morning, with S&P futures up 3.5 points, Dow futures up 31, NASDAQ futures up 5 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street, President Trump accused of racist tweets. As the immigration debate remains topic A in Washington, we check in with Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller next on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are higher. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest gains in the futures right now, with Dow futures up 38 points, S&P's gained 4, and NASDAQ futures climbed by 9. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.12%, and Shanghai rose 0.4% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing and Citigroup kicks off bank earnings around 8 a.m. In deal news, Gilead boosted its Galapagos stake in a $5.1 billion deal, and Crane ended efforts to acquire Cercor. In other news, Reuters reported that U.S. companies may get the nod to restart sales to Huawei in 2 to 4 weeks. And the Wall Street Journal reported that the Boeing 737 MAX is expected to start flying again in January 2020 under the latest scenario. Wrapping things up, Quest Diagnostics was downgraded to sell over at Goldman Sachs. Brinker upgraded to overweight at J.P. Morgan. Teva downgraded to underweight at Morgan Stanley. And Gilead was upgraded to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Republic News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Democrats are calling tweets from President Trump over the weekend racist. The president declaring on Twitter that a group of Democratic congresswomen should go back to the countries they came from. President Trump told aides he's considering removing Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross after Supreme Court's defeat on adding a citizenship question to the census. That's according to NBC. Tropical Depression Barry dumped rain as it slowly swept inland through Gulf Coast states. It spared New Orleans from a direct hit. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox lost, along with the Nationals and Orioles. The A's and Giants were winners. At Wimbledon, Novak Djokovic beat Roger Federer to win the men's single title after almost 5 hours. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where the immigration debate remains front and center after reported weekend raids across the country targeting unauthorized migrants and images of Vice President Mike Pence touring an overcrowded border facility in McAllen, Texas.
I was there alongside the vice president when I was there. But make no mistake, was it overcrowded? Absolutely. But Margaret, we've been saying that for a very long time, that these conditions are overcrowded.
So you agree it's unacceptable?
Oh, absolutely, it's unacceptable.
Acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan tells CBS's Face the Nation, Congress needs to address the border crisis with more funding and changes to the law. Acting Citizenship and Immigration Services Chief Ken Cuccinelli goes one further on ABC's This Week.
They can also go home, which is our preference, when they come illegally here. And the people I deal with asylum in my agency, and the people really claiming asylum with no basis, just totally fraudulently, are clogging a system for legitimate asylum seekers.
All this as immigration enforcement raids get underway in at least 10 cities. Democratic presidential hopeful Amy Klobuchar was also on This Week. She sees the raids as a distraction.
You really wanted to go after security risks, and there are people who are security risks. Why would you alert them and say you're doing this on a Sunday and do it 2 weekends in a row? Why? Because you want to make news, right?
President Trump stirred the pot with a tweet suggesting progressive Democratic congresswomen go back to the countries they came from. Ben Ray Lujan is Assistant Speaker of the House.
That's a racist tweet. Telling people to go back where they came from? These are American citizens elected by voters in the United States of America to serve in one of the most distinguished bodies in the U.S. House of Representatives.
He was on Fox News Sunday, and U.S. women's soccer co-captain Megan Rapinoe was on NBC's Meet the Press to talk about her activism and her future plans.
I'm going to fight for equal pay every day for myself, for my team, and for every single person out there, man, woman, immigrant, U.S. citizen, person of color, whatever it may be. Equal pay, as the great Serena Williams said, until I'm in my grave.
And that is some of the conversation from the political shows heard every Sunday here on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. And we're joined more on all this by Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller. Wendy, let's start with the tweet. What was President Trump trying to do?
Well, I mean, he is trying to divide the Democratic Party. He's trying to bait them, essentially, to focusing on the question of immigration and illegal immigration. And he's being fairly successful in one dimension, right, because the topic is now about Trump. It's about what he says. And it reinforces his, you know, his base that really likes that he's going after, quote-unquote, illegal immigration. Of course, it also reinforces misogyny against women, you know, anti-immigrant. But the thing that makes me wonder about Trump's strategy for 2020 is there a breaking point amongst a lot of the sort of independents or what we call suburban Republicans who, you know, go along with everything that Trump does because they have a tax cut and the economy is good? If the economy turns, even if it doesn't turn a lot, you know, how much more tolerant will they be of things that are just antithetical to what America is? We are an immigrant nation. Now, you can talk about undocumented immigration and want immigration reform, totally legitimate. But I'm just wondering when that breaking point comes, if it ever comes, and how do the Democrats capitalize on that breaking point?
Well, what do you see? Do you see a breaking point coming before Election Day?
Yeah, you know, for people who, I mean, you know, most of us, whatever generation you are, came from somewhere else. And a lot of people who are self-made, who are immigrants who came with no assistance, who have made their way, they support Donald Trump. You talk to people and they think, I made my way. I came here legally. I don't support, you know, undocumented immigration. So they like Donald Trump's crackdown, and they're actually supportive of that. However, when he starts attacking immigrants, particularly people of color, just for immigrating, and even if you did it legally, then I think it's risky. And I think it's risky in some of the areas he needs to win, like Detroit, for example. He needs to win Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania to win this presidency again. So if he starts attacking those people who came here legally and doesn't distinguish, three out of the four congresspeople he attacked were born in the United States. Ayanna Pressley was born in Ohio. So, I mean, that to me, and she's African-American, which could catapult or, you know, launch African-American voters in those three states where they did not turn out the same way in 2016. So there's a risk to a strategy, and I think we have to see in the next couple of months how that might play out.
Now, we have yet to hear from any major Republicans, other than the president, of course, on this. Does that provide the president some cover here?
No, I just attribute it to the sounds of silence that we've heard from the Republican Party ever since Donald Trump's been elected. They've made a trade. Basically, most of what he does, except for trade, they like, and their base, or they think their base likes it. We'll see how some of these sort of iffier states go in 2020. In 2020, Republicans are in a good position. 22 seats are up, but most of them are in Trump country. But they're getting some pushback. Even Tom Tillis in North Carolina is struggling to balance sort of the Trump rhetoric with what North Carolina can shift from moderate to conservative. So I think they're waiting to see. But the sounds of silence have been deafening since for about 2 years. I didn't expect them to come out in any other way. And it's ironic since senators are of immigrant families as much as House people. So it's just, you know, when is it enough? It's unclear, but it's risky for the president, I think, to continue along this line and risk, particularly geographically, in some of those cities where he's going to have trouble getting those votes out again. I'm not sure this is the best strategy for him.
And as we speak, the president is tweeting again this morning, just moments ago, writing this, and I'll quote in full: "When will the radical left congresswomen apologize to our country, the people of Israel, and even to the office of the president for the foul language they have used and the terrible things they have said? So many people are angry at them and their horrible and disgusting actions," end quote. President's doubling down here, Wendy.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. So you get the people who are very strong advocates of Israel are obviously very upset with some of the comments that have come from some of these women. So that's a pretty smart strategy on the part of the president in terms of trying to maintain that voting base. On the other hand, he's attacking women again. And remember, 53% of college women voted for Trump in 2016, but that reversed, give or take, in 2018. And women got out the door and elected a lot more women and a lot more women of color in 2018. So that's the risk for him. Does he actually cement women against him? Now, there's always been a gender gap, but college-educated women, that's a problem for Republicans, and it's a problem for Republicans in the House, Senate, and the presidency. So he's got, I think it's a risk. I think he's pushing the limits, and the question is, how do the Democrats respond? Do they capitalize on that and really focus and double down on particular constituencies that might just have had enough?
Only about 30 seconds left. Do you see Democrats coalescing in some way around this?
Well, you would think so, but, you know, the Democratic Party never, you know, turns away an opportunity to lose when it could win. So I have no idea whether they will be able to get their act together. But it's going to be, a real sit-down between Pelosi and particularly these four women saying, look, this is real hardball politics. You know, how do you want to handle it? What do you want to do? And do we want to stay united or divided? If we unite, we have a real chance of motivating women and people of color in a way to get them out the door in 2020. And if not, I think the Democrats risk again losing an election. They might be able to win.
Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller, always good getting your insights. Thanks again for being here. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. S&P futures are up 4.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 41. NASDAQ futures up around 9. The 10-year treasury, that'll change, yield 2.12%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.84%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 24 cents at $60.45 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.33% or $5.10 to $14.17.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1278 against the dollar. The yen, 107.91. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.